You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is James Randi, the amazing Randi, and this is the Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 383.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Welcome back.
We just got back. Yes, from Dragon Con. We were down south. I'm here. The mayor is here.
I'm here, too.
Was Chicken Town in ruins upon return?
No. Chicken Town was pretty calm when I got back.
Chicken society collapsed in your absence?
No. The chickens are...
They are always more civilized than we give them credit for.
I think so.
Those are classy chickens. So, yeah, this is our Dragon Con review. Part one, because I think the idea is instead of this being a way too long episode, we're going to break this into two episodes.
So bright.
In the long run, that's going to save us a lot of work. And that's what the show's all about.
That's right.
Finding ways to relax. So we're going to talk some Dragon Con, of course, the first half of Dragon Con at least. A couple of normal items of business to take care of first, Cornflake, before we bring you down south with us. What do you have for us for National Whatever Day?
Do you know who Ariana Richards is?
No.
That's not a name you know.
Nope, I do not know either.
She was Lex Murphy in Jurassic Park.
Okay, the original Jurassic Park
Yes.
from 1993? Okay, I don't even know who that character is.
Is that one of the kids?
Is that one of the dinosaurs? What a fancy name for a dinosaur.
It was a dinosaur named Ariana Richards. She was one of the stars in the movie. She's turning 40 on September 11th.
Well, she must have been very young when she was in the movie.
She was, and she also made appearances on The Golden Girls and Empty Nest and Boy Meets World. But I think I know her best from the Ben Folds 5 video Brick.
Wow.
She was the girl in the music video for Brick.
I don't think I remember the video.
Back in 1998.
Certainly know the song. Well, I know nothing about this woman then. What's her name?
You're Ariana Richards. You're going to have a really hard time celebrating her then.
Oh, I'll celebrate. You watch me out there living it up on this day of days, the 40th of Ariana. What's her name? I'm into this. I'm really excited about this.
I kind of went a little bit 90s on this one, I guess.
As the mayor of Chicken Town, can you declare a day in her honor? I guess we're doing that anyway.
Sure. But I'd rather talk about dinosaurs since dinosaurs are birds.
Yeah, technically these chickens running all around, they're sort of dinosaurs, right?
In fact, we had that wonderful Ig Nobel award-winning paper that put plungers on the butts of chickens to make them walk like dinosaurs.
Yes.
Yes, we're funding a lot of important research with all the tax money that we collect here in town. I saw Jurassic Park when it came out in 93. Never saw it again. I liked it. Never saw it again. I've seen none of the sequels.
I read the book. I remember liking the book. I remember sort of liking the movie. I probably saw it more than once, but only once in the theater.
The book, no dinosaurs. It's very different.
It's all chicken.
They filmed it right here in town.
Chicken Town, yes.
Yeah, I think they gave you a cameo.
Well, that was long before I became mayor. I was still working my way up, you know, through middle management.
Yeah. All right, well, happy birthday, Ariana Richards. Did I get it right that time?
You did.
Okay.
And, wonderful work, Kevin.
Swing on through Chicken Town, where we're planning a big celebration for you.
A parade of chickens with plungers strapped to their butts.
That's the plan. The other item of business we have before we leap into Dragon Con is we're still celebrating the 80s. We're on our 10-episode run of 80s festivities. And this is episode 383, which means we're up to 1983. So I have the top 10 songs from this week in 1983.
All right, let's hear them.
And the last couple of weeks, I keep saying, then, this is a good list. And then Cornflake just judges me and shoots me down and says, no, these are terrible songs. You're wrong.
Yeah, well, I understand last week, like, the number one song was a really bad one.
We all agreed the number one song was awful last week. We shall not speak of it again. But this week...
I was about to name it again. So should I just make one syllable noises based on whether or not I like the song?
One syllable is not quite enough. We don't have to be that quick. One word.
Okay.
Give us a one-word reaction to each of these songs. Number 10, Culture Club, I'll Tumble For Ya.
I don't think this is going to work.
This is going to take even longer.
Well, can we just say, like, I have one word.
You know what? You may speak freely. As many words as you like.
No, I've kept this. It's just fabric softener sheets was not one word, so I'll just say dryer. I'll tumble for you.
Yes.
That makes me think of a dryer.
That makes sense. 9 is Michael Jackson, Human Nature. Number 8 is, here we go, Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
You know what? I was just talking about this song because we got into a discussion on one of my Facebook groups about, like, songs that morph in your head into other songs. And, of course, I have the famous situation where that turns into...
You turned this into a 19 by Paul Hardcastle.
No, it's because I conflated that and Making Love Out of Nothing at All in my head because they were hits at the same time and both by Jim Steinman.
Yeah, the Steinman songs are sort of one giant, magnificent song.
And then I disappeared down a Jim Steinman rabbit hole on the internet, as I always do.
That's easy to do. We're good? Bonnie Tyler? Yeah?
Yes.
She looks less enthusiastic, but let's go on.
You don't seem as on board about Bonnie Tyler than we are.
I want to play the game where I get to say one word about the song.
We've moved on. The game is over.
Because my word for that would be cannons. Because it's got the turn around.
I know you're obsessed with cannons and songs. We've been through this a couple of times.
Oh, really?
It's never going to change.
I watched those episodes.
Number 7, Donna Summer, She Works Hard for the Money.
I loved that song.
Creeping towards the mid-80s, and Donna, the queen of the 70s, was still sneaking in with a couple of final hits.
Oh, yeah.
That's not true. She had hits even at the end of the 80s. I stand corrected.
I always think of the Birdcage when I hear She Works Hard for the Money.
Because birds work hard for their money?
Yes. That's exactly why.
Is Hot Stuff your favorite Donna Summer song?
No. But I think about it often because they actually use a clip of it in a podcast that I listen to.
What do you like from Donna Summer if you had to pick?
Heaven Knows.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
there's a bunch of really good ones. She was great.
Donna Summer was great. I'm just drawing a blank.
That's okay.
I like the disco stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Number 6, The Police, Every Breath You Take.
Inescapable.
That was on our creepy show.
We did a whole show. Good. I was about to say it was creepy.
we did a whole show about creepy songs, and I believe that was an honorable mention at the end of the song, was The Police, Every Breath You Take, because, it's about a stalker. Number 5, Billy Joel, Tell Her About It.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a cute little song.
That's a good one. That was number 1 for Billy, his second number 1 song. This was the video where it's like he's on the Ed Sullivan Show with Rodney Dangerfield. And there's a bear. A lot going on. Yeah, we love Billy Joel. We were supposed to do a Billy Joel episode this summer, and we failed. We didn't do it. We were so busy with Meatballs sequels. Someday we're doing a Billy Joel episode. It's got to happen. Number 4, Taco.
Oh, good grief.
Putting on the Ritz.
Yeah.
Yes!
Here's just one of those bizarre, silly 80s novelty-type new wave songs where...
But that was like an old song, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but in the new wave era, you could do whatever you wanted. And as long as it was weird and quirky, it qualified, it counted.
That is true.
And the tap dance solo qualifies this as weird.
Absolutely bizarre. Number 2, Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This.
Oh, obviously a classic. I love Eurythmics.
Yeah, I was never a big Eurythmics guy. I like them, I respect them, but I never got way into them.
Yeah, that's not necessarily my favorite song. It's certainly probably their most well-known, but I like some of the other stuff.
Yeah.
Here Comes the Rain Again.
Sure. Missionary Man.
Missionary Man's good. I like Why. Yep. Or is that a...
That's Annie Lennox.
That's Annie Solo.
That's right.
Number 1, here we go. This is a good one. Number 1. Capping things off from Flashdance, not Irene Cara, but the other guy, Michael Sembello, with Maniac.
I just heard Irene Cara in the grocery store, though. I believe it was Flashdance, yes.
Well, so that sounds like a great trip to the grocery store.
I'm not much of a dancer, and I'm certainly not much into choreography, but Maniac was the first song I learned a dance routine to.
Ooh.
That was fourth grade. I don't think I even get to perform with the rest of the class because everyone else is better than me.
Michael Sembello. That's your top 10 for this week in 1983. And the number 1 movie this week in 83 was Mr. Mom.
Oh, I definitely saw that in the theater.
I think we finally reached a number 1 movie that we've seen. Mr. Mom was pretty good. Michael Keaton, Terry Garr. Martin Mull, I believe, is in there. Sure. A classic. Okay, that's 1983. Let's move on. We went to Dragon Con.
Yes, we did.
Down in Atlanta. You were there. You don't go every year. And everybody's asking for cornflake down there.
I witnessed someone asking, why doesn't cornflake come? When's cornflake going to come to Dragon Con?
Oh, my goodness.
A few people asked about you at Dragon
Con. People we don't even know. There's people at random yelled at us, where's cornflake?
They didn't even know that we knew you. They were asking everybody.
Well, thank you, my beloved fans.
Someday.
Aw, yeah, absolutely.
We're going to figure this out someday. If they were asking everybody, by official numbers, they would have asked 85,000 people. Because those are the official numbers to come out of Dragon Con this year, was a record attendance of 85,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah, well...
qualified.
I feel like we're good. I'm sure the convention is happy that more and more people come.
Well, as long as you're okay with 85,001, I can come one of these years.
That's right. We need to get rid of someone to make room for cornflake.
I'll be happy if we grow by just one person next year. But yeah, 85,000. Although I also heard people say, and I feel like this was my experience as well, it did not seem as crowded as in some previous years. So even though more than ever, people...
Yeah.
Maybe they were dispersed a little better this year.
It certainly was my experience that I did not feel overwhelmed.
Well, that's
And I
good.
Usually do at
yeah.
some point
yes.
during the weekend
yeah.
or sometimes at many points during the weekend. I also, the weather was nice, so that helps. You know, when you're hot and sticky and in a crowd of people, that's always no fun.
The weather was good this year. Temperatures were not bad. It would creep up into the upper 80s, you know, by the afternoon. But in general, humidity was not bad and temperatures were not as bad as they could be, certainly. So we were more comfortable than in many previous years.
I'm so glad the heat was not oppressive.
The other big number they released today, I believe, was 3,600 people, I believe, participated in the blood drive.
Is that a record as well?
I think so.
Okay.
I know it's a massive number. It's the biggest blood drive of any convention.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Well, they certainly advertise it.
You cannot miss the blood drive. There are people running around screaming about the blood drive everywhere you go.
Are they dressed up like blood droplets?
Sometimes.
That's awesome.
I felt like the donations to charity were promoted more than I remember in the past.
At
every panel, they ask you to donate to the charity.
They push the donations for the charity, and there's all kinds of different fundraisers going. Plus, any room you go into, you can just throw a dollar in a bucket if you like. That's fine, too. But yeah, they raised $110,000 for the American Heart Association.
That is excellent.
Yeah. So, those are your official numbers. Those are good numbers. I guess we should say, for any new people, Dragon Con is a giant nerd festival down in Atlanta, Georgia, every Labor Day weekend. It's 5 days long. It takes over downtown Atlanta. They use 5 hotels, plus a couple of other giant buildings of exhibition space, plus everywhere else in the immediate vicinity. It's all Dragon Con. And it's science fiction and fantasy and costuming and gaming and science and skeptics and robots and puppets and every crazy thing you can think of is happening at Dragon Con. I was an attending professional again this year, so I was super busy doing panels and presentations and entertaining the weird people. And you jumped on some, you were paneling as well this year?
I did 3 panels, which might be the most I've done at Dragon Con.
Yeah, so we've got a lot to get through. I got down there ahead of you.
Yes.
Yeah, we travel separately. For reasons of national security, we travel separately. I got down there Wednesday, nice and early. American Science Fiction Classics track that we do a lot of programming with
at
Dragon Con. Those of us who are crazy enough to show up on Wednesday, we have a big reunion dinner together. And it was even nerdier than usual because now the restaurant that we were at was getting in on Dragon Con by offering weird nerd-themed stuff. People were ordering Spider-Man chicken and waffles.
Oh.
Like they made special waffles.
Yeah.
Spider-shaped waffles, yeah.
Special waffle iron.
Yes. I got a big salad there and it was an Incredible Hulk salad and it had a little like stand-up thing of the Incredible Hulk. Standing on top of the salad.
That's hardcore.
Yes.
That was the Hulk for a job that I felt should have gone to the Jolly Green Giant, but that's just me, I guess. I guess the Jolly Green Giant's not a superhero.
I was trying to make the salad angry so that it would grow even bigger. So that was Wednesday. And then this was Gary and Sue, you know these people, Michael and Rosalind, other Michael and Rachel and Gina was there.
Three other Michaels.
Everybody's named Michael. Jason and Rita stopped by and Jesse. And Wednesday, like the convention has not started yet, but a lot of people are there on Wednesday now. And so full costumes are happening on Wednesday. It's crazy. It's nice to have time with these people because some of these people I don't have a chance to have a real conversation with the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, and that's kind of
like, hi, yeah. I'll wave in passing and that's it. But yeah, Wednesday we hang out for a long time. We have dinner and then we just find a spot where it's quiet enough that we can hang out. We were playing a card game this year. And you know how often I play a game? I go years.
Yeah.
But I was drafted into it. I was dealt into this game. But you know this game, Flux?
Yes.
You know Flux?
I do.
Okay, we played Flux. And this was a special like Marvel Comics edition of Flux.
Yeah, there are different varieties
of
Flux.
Yeah, so they had to guide me through the whole thing the whole time because I was constantly very confused. Every card you turn over adds new weird rules to the game, so it keeps getting more complicated.
And I don't know how to follow the rules to begin with. Yeah. Just as a general rule, I have a difficulty with rules.
Yeah, so they had to keep explaining to me what to do. Every time it was my turn, I'd have to be guided through what in the world I was supposed to do. But it was all like Marvel superhero base. So there was a Groot card, and then if you had that card, all you could say, of course, I know how that goes. And I somehow won the game.
Ooh-hoo.
Yeah, very quickly.
Excellent.
The first game I won.
And then they were not so willing to coach you through again.
And the second game, we played a second game, and the second game was going on for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. But that game, I didn't win, but I forced the win on somebody else because I thought, this is going on way too long. I figure out, if I throw this card down now, then Gary's going to win. So that's what I did.
Oh.
And everybody knew exactly what I was up to.
Yep.
Put it down like Sue said, well, Kevin doesn't want to play anymore. They were on to me.
They called you out.
Late night pre-convention with our wacky friends. That was nice. It's a Thursday before you even got there. I got my badge. Had to go to a guest badge pickup. I found Emily there. Emily Fink, who's also an attending pro.
I saw her only in passing throughout the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah. She mentioned, Monday, she mentioned to me that she was sorry that she had missed you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Emily's great. She works with the science track.
Also a great costumer.
Oh, yeah. She's an amazing costumer as well. So she's crazy busy all through Dragon Con. And there were a lot of people in the guest badge pickup.
Yeah.
Like usually I walk in and it's almost empty and I'm just in and out. And this time I was there for maybe, about 10 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a good little line of people doing pickup there. So then I'm looking around. I'm like, is anybody famous here? Like, this is where the guests come to get their badge. And the only real famous person that was there was George Perez.
Uh-huh.
And it's not hard to see George Perez at Dragon Con because when he's not at his table signing autographs on his comic books and stuff, he is just circling the convention with a big smile.
Yep.
Just looking at taking pictures and posing with every single customer in the place.
I've heard his nickname is Omnipresent Perez.
He's everywhere.
He's very friendly.
And he's the happiest, nicest, friendliest guy that you could possibly meet. Badge pickup.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really ready to mingle with everybody in Atlanta at this point, I would think. But I saw someone stop him just walking out.
Yeah.
He just picked up his stuff and somebody grabbed him for a picture. And he looked delighted.
Mm-hmm.
He looked, stopped the people he was with. Hang on, we're doing a picture. So yeah, just super, super nice guy. So it was nice to see George. And I did bump into George 6 or 7 more times throughout the weekend after that. But yeah, then we do the tours. Now it's time for the walking tours. I'm one of the tour guides who takes groups of newcomers to Dragon Con. We take them all through the convention. What happens every year, we have like a tour guide, like a printed couple of pages that the tour guides use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's instructions. Here's the way to go through the convention. Here's what to point out, where the different track rooms are. It's a page of information,
mm-hmm.
that you use as you're leading the tours. And I was working with Kim, one of the organizers. But it came right down to the last minute again, as it has the last like 4 years, I think.
Aww.
It's always come down to me in a panic at the copy shop inside the Marriott.
Oh.
It happened again. Because Kim got me the thing. And then
mm-hmm.
so I just had like this link into a document through a messenger thing on my phone. And I'm working with this poor FedEx guy. We're trying to figure out how to get it from where it is on my phone. It to be printed out.
That is not fun.
Yes, I was on this printing adventure with the FedEx dude. He was great. I was walking out of FedEx. The guy hugged me.
Aww.
He felt like we'd really been through something, We were brothers at that point, copy brothers. As I'm walking out, Kim is walking up in a panic.
I hope she hugged you.
Yes, she did. I got hugged by the FedEx dude and by Kim. And off we go. We do the tours with Christine. Christine's always my partner on the tours.
So yes.
The two of us were a team again this year.
You've got a good system.
We did 2 tours. And last year we had to do 3. Which we were afraid was going to happen again.
Did you slow down a little bit this time?
We did 2 tours, but I don't know if they had more tour guides available this year, but that was all we had to do. But
mm-hmm.
everybody got to go, because they take hundreds of people
yeah.
on these tours every year. And you'd come along by then.
Yes, you were just finishing up the tour as I texted you, or turkted you, I should say.
It was a turkst. A turkey-themed text message, we call a turkst.
First, I had to get my badge, and the...
Got your badge?
That was a little more complicated than it's been in the past few years.
Because you got in line with everybody.
I got in a big line. I haven't had to wait in line for the last several years.
Yeah, there hadn't been... The last few years, badge pickup has been very quick for everybody. Mm-hmm. I mean, for all 80,000 people.
Yeah.
But this year, there was a big line.
This
for some
year,
reason, they were going slow.
Something weird happened, and the line was about 3/4 of the way around the hotel.
So
but
how long did badge pickup actually take?
I mean, I would say between 30 and 40 minutes. So
that's not bad.
And the line was really constantly moving forward.
Because, I mean, compared to the last couple of years, 40 minutes sounds awful because it had been like 2 minutes.
Right.
Yeah,
some years.
A breeze.
But back in the beginning.
Yeah, compare 40 minutes to 10 years ago.
Right.
It was easily an hour,
two hours, three hours. Yeah, certainly.
So 40 minutes is not bad at all. And we had dinner with Tim and Jessica, their friend Ashley, and our friend Kat.
Yes.
Or Kate Shaw. Novelist Kate Shaw.
Yes, I'm glad she was able to join us
and
for dinner.
Podcaster Kate Shaw from the Strange Animals podcast.
And the most excellent feature of that dinner was that the restaurant had a Marriott carpet cake.
Yeah, speaking of weird DragonCon-themed foods... They're making cake. They had chocolate cake with the classic Marriott carpet pattern on the cake. The frosting of the cake was Marriott carpet.
Well, they know their customer base. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were selling a lot of cake, I'll bet. It was really good.
It was actually, the cake itself was a very rich chocolate raspberry cake.
Because I had some of yours, and then I had some of Kate's.
Right.
It was the exact same cake, but I had the sample from...
Commemorative carpet cake.
I had a lot of Kate's.
Good. And then I briefly went to the 80s prom, which was put on by the X-Track, and it was Stranger Things themed, sort of.
Were they playing Michael Cimbello?
No, they were not, but they played a lot of good classics. I joined a conga line at one point. There were a lot of Spooks Ahoy costumes, of course, from Stranger Things Season 3. And at one point, they played, there was actually a Beetlejuice guy who was kind of in the front, so the DJ played Jump in the Line, that started the conga line going. Also, actually, at one point he says, I have just one question, German or English? I mean, the consensus was German, so he starts playing Nena, the German version of 99 Red Balloons, and a bunch of volunteers suddenly appeared with red balloons, which they tossed out to the audience. We played Keep Away, and it was a fun moment.
You had like a magical Nena moment.
It really was.
Cornflake, you and I can only dream of having a Nana moment.
I can't tell you the level of envy I have having. I want to play with balloons.
Yeah, I'm thinking that would have been your favorite event of the whole week.
You would have been able to pull me out of there. I would have cozied up with the balloons and called it a night.
The ESO Network, we have our annual meet and greet Thursday night. And there's Mike and Mike, from Earth Station 1. Mary from Earth Station Who.
Yeah, I talked to Mary for quite a while.
Mary's cool. The Nerd Bliss people were there. I believe I saw at least one of the cigar nerds wander by, but I didn't get to say hello. A whole bunch of folks from all our different shows were hanging around, and I was most impressed that Sean was there. Sean came down from Canada to be with us. This is Sean from the Soul Forge podcast and from Rusted Robot. Mm-hmm. And made it all the way down from Canada to be part of our little ESO family there at DragonCon.
Which really means I don't have any excuse whatsoever to not be there. Sean's showing me up.
Yep. Oh, and Nathan as well. Nathan from the 42 cast was at the meet and greet, and he came from almost as far. We came from almost as far. But Nathan's in Wisconsin, I believe, so he came some distance.
From the north.
To be here also from the north, yes. Great to, hang out with everybody and do some... meeting and greeting. Again, I kept to my word. I would only do one at a time. I will not meet and greet. I can't do that kind of multitasking. That was nice.
That was a good evening.
Seeing the network people, of course.
And I think I cut out a little bit earlier than you did, as is the general trend.
Sure. Well, I was wandering back towards the other hotels after that, and I heard my name, and I'm looking around out on the streets of Atlanta, and it was Mariana.
Lady O.
Our friend Mariana and her husband Jason, they were just hanging out on the sidewalks. I wandered over them, and we were just standing there on the sidewalk. Yeah, she's part of the dementia comedy music scene, of course, Mariana. Mm-hmm. I'm sure glad they spotted me, because I did not see them again the rest of the weekend. Because I never got over to the robot stuff. Now, there's a whole robotics track, and of course Jason builds robots that compete in the robot battles.
I almost forgot about the robots.
You know about those robots.
There's too much stuff going on.
There's a ridiculous amount of stuff happening. You cannot possibly see it all, but great to see them. That was Thursday. Friday morning, here we go. I don't know what you did, because you didn't come with me. Because the first thing I did Friday was Rankin Bass. The Rankin Bass dude was there. Rick Goldschmidt. I've got this book. I bought this book in the 90s called The Enchanted World of Rankin Bass.
And right, we've referred to it.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because we're obsessed with Rankin Bass holiday specials and all the animated cartoons that they did. And that book was written by Rick Goldschmidt, and he's kind of like the official Rankin Bass historian. He is an expert on all things Rankin Bass. And Rick was a guest at Dragon Con this year, working with the puppetry track and with the animation track, because Rankin Bass kind of checks both those boxes with stop motion. Rick was doing a bunch of presentations throughout the weekend, but only one of them fit my schedule, and it was the very first one, so I was happy that I could get to that one at least. So this was like a general presentation about Rankin Bass, which was great.
So I headed over to the Marriott with you, intending to maybe go to that, but only if the David Tennant line wasn't already out of control. And of course it was, so I got right in that.
I forgot, that was Friday.
Yeah, the panel wasn't until 11:30, but I got in line at 9:30, already three quarters of the way around the Marriott.
Yes, because David Tennant was, I'm going to guess, the most in-demand celebrity guest at Dragon Con this year.
I would say yes.
How was he as a speaker?
Really, really delightful. I mean, I have to say he's not my favorite doctor, but I really found him charming and funny, and he's, you know...
Were you waving a giant sign that says you're not my favorite doctor?
No.
How's he going to know, then? You weren't there to mix it up?
I wasn't there to mix it up.
Present an opposing viewpoint.
I disagree.
And it was, you know, mostly audience questions with a little bit of goofing around. They raced around the stage on their rolling chairs and did goofy stuff like that, but it was definitely very much worth waiting in line for.
All right. After that, I hit the Classics Track room, American Sci-Fi Classics, where we spend a good chunk of the weekend, of course. And there's a new guy, a guy named Chris, who I think was new to Dragon Con. He was doing a video presentation thing called Sci-Fi Explosion, the Cosmic Collection of Sci-Fi Weirdness. Huh. And he does like trivia questions, and then he'll throw two little video clips. And it's stuff like Japanese commercials, like really bizarre stuff. Like they had like RoboCop in Japan selling like dog food,
okay.
stuff like that. Just really, really silly, crazy, funny stuff. And he was really good. Funny guy, Chris. I believe he's going to keep coming back and doing work with the Classics Track now, because he seems like a good fit for our merry band.
Excellent.
And the highlight, though, of his presentation, he was teasing it the whole time. And then at the end, he said, "We're going to watch the Billy Ocean video for Loverboy." Do you remember this video?
I don't.
I don't either. I know I must have seen it because all I did was watch music videos in the mid-80s. But the Billy Ocean video for his song Loverboy, it's like the Creature Cantina from Star Wars.
Wow.
But it's a Billy Ocean
video.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to link to that in the show notes.
Everybody watch Billy Ocean's Loverboy video right now. Just pause the podcast. Watch Mr. Ocean.
Can I pause the podcast now?
Can we pause even while we're recording right now?
No, no time for that.
We do not have time for that.
I'm going to have to wait.
We got to keep moving.
That must have been while I was still at David.
I stayed in the Classics Track room for Needless Things Presents Geek Year 1989. So this is our friend Dave West, the Phantom Troublemaker from the Needless Things podcast, and he assembled his regular crew of weird people, and they were just talking stuff that they liked from 1989. That was a big year, monster year at the movies and the music. A lot of cool stuff to talk from 1989, and that was a nice panel. He'll probably release it as a podcast episode some point, and if he does, you will hear me pop up at one point. He did bring the audience mic over to me. At one point, I pop up for like 4 seconds.
So I went to see a Rankin Bass panel on the animation track.
Oh, that must have been with the same dude, Rick Goldschmidt.
And they, they talked about all this stuff, but kind of with a little bit more of a focus on the traditional animation and movies like The Last Unicorn and then a few others that I had never even heard of. I mean, they talked about The Hobbit and Return of the King and... A movie called The Flight of Dragons, which came out a little bit later, but kind of in the style of The Last Unicorn that I definitely want to seek out.
They did a lot of stuff that people barely remember. Anyway, there's a lot of Rankin Bass stuff beyond the stuff that everybody knows and sees every year. And not just Christmas stuff, certainly. They did a lot of stuff, not all holiday specials and things, but so many series and movies and things.
Yeah, I need to see The Last Unicorn again, too.
Let's do it.
It's been too long.
We should all watch it sometime. If only they'd called it Meatballs 5, The Last Unicorn, we would have watched it already. They didn't brand properly to get our attention. I had my first panel of the weekend was at this point, mm-hmm. Friday afternoon, and that was about the Planet of the Apes cartoon series. Because in 1975, they made a Saturday morning Planet of the Apes cartoon.
Because why not?
They'd done the live-action series. They did like five movies. I think it was five movies, then the live-action ape series, then the cartoon.
It seems pretty serious material for a Saturday morning cartoon.
They took it seriously. Mm-hmm. And I think you can compare it to Star Trek. Mm-hmm. The Star Trek animated series was a pretty serious take on Star Trek.
It was just
animated. Yeah. And same thing with the apes. They took the apes very seriously in this cartoon. The animation was really, really, really limited. You're watching practically just still images on the screen. So it was super cheap as far as animation. This was the Patty Frelling, was mm-hmm. the animators, and probably best known for Pink Panther.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other stuff. But
did the apes look like hand turkeys?
Yes, they were animated hand turkeys. But they were pretty faithful to the tone and the characters of the movies. And it's one long story. Like, it's not like Saturday morning cartoon style individual episodes. It's an ongoing, unfolding storyline.
Wow, a saga.
I wonder how many kids followed that back in the day.
I wondered what was wrong with the cartoon.
I mean, I certainly...
like, why isn't this funny?
I watched it back then, but I did not remember it very well. So it was nice to revisit the whole series. And now this happened to me back at Convergence, you might recall. I had a Riverdale panel back at Convergence, and like three people didn't show up, including the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just me and a woman, and the two of us had to do the whole Riverdale panel, just the two of us. But it worked out fine because she was great, and the audience was very talkative. They kept popping their hands up and contributing, and it was great. It was fine. In this case, there was supposed to be a moderator there in addition to me and Andrew E.C. Gaska. Who has written Planet of the Apes adaptations and stuff.
Oh, cool.
He's a serious guy with serious ape credentials. Like, we could only dream of having. But the moderator, for whatever reason, who was scheduled to be there, was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just me and Andrew on this panel. So I thought, all right, we're going to talk some apes, just the two of us then. So I threw it out to the audience. Like, I made sure the audience knew, feel free to jump in, throw your hand up if you want to get in on this, because I thought, we got to keep this conversation going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And crickets. These people were not here to talk. They were here to listen to the two of us again, which is fine.
Right.
But it did make it a little more of a challenge to, can the two of us talk about the Planet of the Apes cartoons for an hour? Which we did, and it was good.
I am so proud of you.
Andrew was great. He knew his stuff, and it was a good conversation. In retrospect, I feel like we should have shown an episode.
Yeah.
It should have been, half the panel could have been just watch the cartoon and talk for half. Probably would have been plenty, and we could have all enjoyed an ape cartoon. In which I know Joe Crow, one of the track directors, or Gary and Joe of the Classics Track, Joe loves to point out that the main bad guy of the ape cartoon, General Urko, the leader of the guerrilla army, sounds just like Fred Flintstone. Because he was voiced by Henry Corden, the voice of Fred Flintstone. So it's really funny every time he talks. Oh, and I had to just stay right up on stage because I had a panel right after that, right in the same room. And that was our annual memorial panel was right after that, Classic Sci-Fi Legends.
Yep, and I snuck on in for that.
You came in, you were there.
I came in.
What'd you think? How'd it go?
I thought it went very well. I thought it was smart to limit the number of people being covered.
Yeah,
this year.
Credit Joe Crow for that, because that was a few months ago. Joe and I were discussing the panel, because the last couple of years, like, I try to cram, like, 80 people.
You want everyone to have their
day. Yeah, and it's like when we do it on the Flopcast. We cover a million people when we do our memorial show in January. But I think Joe was right. He said, you know, we don't want to make this into just rushing through a list of names.
Yeah, let's handle the core people and then have, like, a lightning round, which you did. Also, you were showing the slides.
Yeah, what I did... I had all my 80 or 90 slides for every single person that we could possibly want to reference but would not have time to. So what I did was I started up the slideshow and we just let it run before the panel started.
Mm-hmm.
So for about 15, 20 minutes, we just had every few seconds a new face would come up on the screen. So as people were coming in, they could watch the big screen and see everybody else that we would not have time to cover. So it worked out. They were represented as well. And it was me and it was Chase and Keith. Keith R.A. DeCandido,
mm-hmm.
who's a novelist. And these guys were put on this panel for specific reasons, because they had direct connections to a couple of people we were covering. What we did, we trimmed it down to 9 people to mm-hmm. cover so that we could really give some time to everybody. And those 9 people were Peter Mayhew, Chewbacca, mm-hmm. Another Peter Tork,
yeah.
we covered, Penny Marshall, Rutger Hauer, Luke Perry, Catherine Helmond, Ken Berry. Ken Berry I wanted to include because last year on the Classics track, we watched The Cat from Outer Space,
right.
you know, starring Ken Berry. The 2 big ones that we wanted to cover, though, especially, were Burt Reynolds and Stan Lee.
Of course.
And Chase was on the panel, is a journalist, and a few years ago, he interviewed Burt Reynolds and kept in touch with him. Like, they kind of hit it off and developed a friendship, mm-hmm. and he was in contact with Burt for years after that. So that was cool. Mm-hmm. And then Keith worked with Stan Lee. Because Keith edited a whole line of novels for Marvel back in the 90s. And so he was in frequent communication with Stan. He was saying, look, the Stan Lee that you see, the public Stan Lee, that's Stan Lee. He's right. like he's like that all the time.
It's not in air.
Yeah. So it was nice to have those guys there with some direct connections to 2 of the main people we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, that was quite heartwarming.
And it's always a balancing act. You want to keep the tone up, you know. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to be sad and in mourning. We're supposed to be celebrating what these people did, what we loved, what they gave us. And I think we did it.
Yes, I think it was very successful. That was the first panel I would see you do.
And the next thing I have in my notes is Hilton Bar. I guess I went to a bar at this point.
You must have gone to the Hilton Bar. I went across the floor of the Marriott to the American Sci-Fi and Fantasy Media to see a panel on the Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah.
Which, that's a series on Netflix that is based on a graphic novel. It's one of those like series that I think could have shaved a couple of episodes off to be a real tight narrative, but
yeah,
I think
I kind of drifted away. I lost interest, but you kept going.
It really paid off in the end, and I was quite impressed by it, and it was a very interesting discussion on the panel. The panelists were pretty much all writers, so they all had, and only one of them had actually read the graphic novels, and I've since read them.
What do you prefer, the Umbrella Academy comics or the TV series?
In this case, the TV series
really
gives a lot more detail, and as one of the panelists brought up, it kind of diversifies the cast because all the characters in the comic book are white and they mix it up. They have multiracial characters, main characters in the show, which I think is great.
That's absolutely. Just to wind back for a second, when I just announced that the next thing I did was go to the Hilton Bar, I wasn't just going there to belly up to the bar.
No, the Hilton Bar is kind of the designated hang spot for our group of
just a lone,
friends.
Thirsty man.
And why the Hilton Bar?
Got to drown my sorrows.
Dragon Con had driven you to drink.
After the memorial panel.
Oh, yeah.
Go drown my sorrows. No, I think you'd tip me off that a bunch of our science nerd friends had already started gathering. So many friends of ours that either work on or just hang around the science track and the skeptic track at Dragon Con. That's where they tend to congregate, is over at the Hilton Bar area.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, Liz from Boston Skeptics, of course, our dear friend Liz was there, and Bob Novella from The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, who was the only Novella I saw all weekend. I missed the other Novella brothers and their wives and everybody from SGU.
I saw one other Novella.
Nice. Only one I saw was Bob. And a bunch of friends of ours were over there. And, Scott Sigler was there as well. Novelist Scott Sigler, friend to the skeptics. And when I said hi to Scott, he immediately pulled me in and he said, we're trying to make up a drinking game right now. And Scott has his late night. There's a late night Scott Sigler panel every year. And apparently he was trying to develop a drinking game for his late night crazy panel.
Really leaving it to the last minute.
Yeah, that they were all, because I kind of backed away.
At that point.
I thought Scott would be way better at this than me. I'll be no help at all. And I found Christine and Daryl. You know, I like to wander around with them every year. And, of course, they were in there. You know what they wear every year? Is their
Star Trek
Next Generation, Beverly Crusher and Captain Picard costumes. And, yeah, you walk around with them. You have to stop every 5 seconds because people want pictures when they see them, them together in their Star Trek suits. And so I was hanging out with them for a bit. And then eventually I hooked up with our super late night crew of usual people, which is from Good Enough Cosplay, you know, Jessica and Martha and Brittany and Sergio. And Jessica was doing Elvira that night. And man, her Elvira costume, it's just eerie at this point.
Yeah.
She transforms
every detail.
And I know Elvira herself is a fan of Jessica's Elvira costume.
That's the ultimate.
Yes. Sergio was doing the Crow. Brittany was doing Brittany. as in Britney Spears. Britney was in her Britney Spears costume. And yeah, I think I was just hanging out with them the rest of the night.
Sounds about right.
That's Friday. Saturday. Saturday morning is the parade, which, as you know, I happily avoid every year. But you got, like, invited to you found the right way to experience the parade.
Yes.
Like, you were invited by friends of ours to a special parade viewing party.
Right. There are certain towers of certain hotels where you can actually watch the parade. So we were doing that and having some breakfast foods and some breakfast drinks. Yeah. And I think we made Kevin jealous.
Well, I had a panel to go through. I was going to roll a panel on the mm-hmm. classics track. Yeah, and I always announce every year, I don't need to see the parade. I'm good. And then suddenly I heard, yeah, well, guess what? We're going to be on a balcony with making waffles and drinking mimosas watching the parade. Suddenly I thought, oh, man, I'm going to miss the parade. So you figured out the parade.
I figured out the parade. I won the parade.
Our friends took care of you. Yeah, I reported for duty at the Classics track bright and early. Joe Crow was in there first thing Saturday morning mm-hmm. showing cartoons. And there are people that just show up to watch cartoons early Saturday morning.
I would.
They were watching Thundar the Barbarian, and I think they popped in C-Lab 2020 after that. Set in the far future of the year 2020.
Oh, good grief.
That was exciting. And yeah, right after that, we do a classic sci-fi roller panel. And this roller panel was specifically celebrating Batman. 80 years of Batman. So it's a 20-sided die. Every side of the die had some sort of Batman-related thing on it. You roll the die, whatever comes up. We have a 5-minute panel on that subject. Then we roll again. So we just go through a whole bunch of subjects really quick. Aunt Harriet from the Batman 66 TV series had a spot on the die.
Oh, that's something I'm vaguely aware of.
Yes, Aunt Harriet came up, and then we had to do a 5-minute panel about Aunt Harriet. It got a little silly. And I had more Batman talk right after that, because I had to run across the hotel to the American Sci-Fi Fantasy Media Room for Gotham.
Yeah, this is when Kevin's hardcore panel rotation really starts to kick in.
Rushing back and forth all over the place, paneling like mad. And yeah, this was Gotham. We were talking the final season of Gotham, because the whole series just wrapped up. And that was good. What were you doing now?
I went over to see our friends from the network on Earth Station Who. And,
on the Brit track.
Yeah, on the Brit track. So they were talking not about a specific episode of Doctor Who, but kind of Doctor Who in general. What makes the character, consistent from regeneration to regeneration? What are the essentials of Doctor Who? And yeah, that was the only thing I did on the Brit track. That was
anything on the Brit track.
I think generally only Doctor Who stuff is what draws me over there.
I went to a thing after my Gotham panel, mm-hmm. which went very well. I should say the other panelists were great. It was Darren, Jess, David, and Kristen were on the panel with me. I was moderating that one, I think, mm-hmm. and went really well, wrapping up the whole series of Gotham. And then after that, I went to see Bill Corbett from Mystery Science Theater 3000 and from Riff Tracks.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, oddly, Bill was the only person from MST3K who was at the convention this year. Whereas usually there's a few of them.
Yeah,
different combinations and configurations of MST3K mm-hmm. people.
Yeah, but there's been Trace and Frank in past years. And
1 year they had almost all of them.
Yeah.
That was something. I think that everybody except Mike Nelson was there one mm-hmm. year, because Mike does not seem to do conventions.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was Bill this year. And Bill has a podcast, which I keep forgetting to listen to, called Bill Corbett's Funhouse. So they're doing like a live version of Bill's podcast. And his guests, here's a lineup for you. The guests were James Urbaniak, who's a... one of the voices on Venture Brothers, I know, which I don't know anything about, but I know people are very excited to see him. He's a regular at DragonCon every year.
He's a character.
He's a character, too, yep, and a great voice guy and a funny guy. All I know him from is seeing him on stuff at DragonCon.
Same.
But I know he has extensive credits besides talking at DragonCon. But James was there. Molly Lewis was on the panel.
Yay.
I didn't get to see Molly do any singing or performing or anything this year, but so it was nice to at least see her... as a podcast guest with Bill, Molly was there, and Joseph Scrimshaw was on the panel.
Yay!
That's a good panel. Good lineup.
Yeah.
Comedian Joseph Scrimshaw, who we just saw at Convergence.
Yeah, I know he's certainly done stuff with Bill in the past.
Yeah, and he's become a regular at DragonCon as well as Convergence. He's part of that crew that do kind of silly comedy shows mm-hmm. all weekend. I think the theme of this episode of the podcast was the term unpopular opinion. Uh-huh. And people like to make people post on Twitter and whatnot, and
like they're all proud of their unpopular opinion.
Yeah, have a big announcement to make.
Right.
Look how clever and cool and I am. And
this may be an unpopular opinion, but
I don't.
Indigo Girls belong in the Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame.
See that? There you go. There's your unpopular opinion. That's a good one. See, so yeah, they were kind of discussing the concept of the unpopular opinion in general and then trying to share their own examples. Molly's, I thought, was cute. Molly said that she likes vertical video. Because, you know, people get all excited. People get all upset if you don't twist your phone to the side while you're shooting video.
Yeah, it's a little irritating.
Yeah. Molly was like, no, I'm okay. I like the vertical video. Then they started speculating, could we have a TV set mounted on your wall that could turn, that had like the power to flip over to display vertical video? I'm sure that would make Molly very happy.
And just Molly.
Oh, Molly alone would be happy because she has an unpopular opinion about vertical video. I sneaked out of that podcast with Bill Corbett a little early because I had to run back and get my ribbons. I was running low on badge ribbons, and I really needed badge ribbons before my next panel.
That means you must have been handing out a lot of ribbons.
Yeah, I was going to ask, how did those go?
Oh, I was passing out ribbons all weekend, nonstop.
Hopefully some of those people are listening right now.
Ribbons are definitely bigger than ever at Dragon Con. Still not as big as some of the other conventions we go to.
I guarantee you will never see a bigger ribbon scene than at Gallifrey one.
But there was a noticeable surge in ribbon popularity this year.
Yeah, Alicia mentioned that she really enjoyed that.
She was into the ribbons, yes, our friend Alicia, absolutely. I think she went to a meetup where people were specifically getting together to exchange ribbons. But anyway, of course, the Flapcast ribbons this year feature Cousin Oliver from the Brady Bunch.
How were the wrist ribbons received?
The Robbie Wrist Cousin Oliver ribbons. Yeah, we made ribbons that say Cousin Oliver, not a jinx. But my next panel was called, and this panel was added kind of late in the game, because on our DragonCon preview show, we didn't even mention that this was happening. But Cornflake, we did a panel called Cousin Oliver Was Framed, Classic Sci-Fi Sidekicks. Can you imagine? The year that we make Cousin Oliver badge ribbons is the year we did a Cousin Oliver panel at DragonCon.
Did you have some inside knowledge that you weren't sharing with us?
I may know some people who know people who know people at DragonCon.
Yeah, so I made it to this panel.
You were there.
Uh-huh.
And yeah,
this was some of our friends.
A bunch of our friends showed up to watch the Cousin Oliver panel. Yes, so that was great. And yeah, so I was up there with Michael Bailey from the Fortress of Baileytude, and Michael Williams, who's a writer who I always do a bunch of panels with every year, and Gary, Classics Track co-director, Gary was there.
Yes, I feel like there may have been some more Michaels floating around somewhere.
The room is always just littered with Michaels, that Classics Track.
I think they need to do the drop of mics every year.
We had a whole Michael panel celebrating
what I missed that year.
The collective noun for, it's either we call them the Council of Michaels or a drop of mics. When they all get together. But anyway, for the Cousin Oliver panel, I believe Gary Mitchell, co-director of the Classics Track, was scheduled to run this panel. And then 2 seconds before we started, he informed me that no, I would be running the panel. So
Surprise!
He handed the Cousin Oliver panel over to me, but I suppose that was appropriate.
Yeah.
You know? I was sort of asking for it when I showed up with a bunch of Cousin Oliver ribbons.
Yeah.
So we talked some Cousin Oliver and Robbie Wrist, and then, of course, drifted into the concept of a teen or kid sidekicks in general, such as Robin, of course, from Batman and Robin, and the Teen Titans, and Short Round from Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the Goonies, you know, kids like that, any kind of kid adventure characters. Also ran through a bunch of, Cousin Oliver was the concept of you add a little kid to the cast late in the run of the show to try to keep it going.
Who then gets blamed for the show's demise, even though it was already, the writing was already on the wall.
You can be annoyed by the kid, but you can't blame the kid.
Right.
The show is already fading by the time they add these kids.
Those kids and their stupid bowl haircuts.
They all have the Cousin Oliver haircut. So many examples. If you add a little kid to the cast and they always have the weird round haircut. You know, like Joey Lawrence on Give Me a Break. Sam, little Sam on Different Strokes. So many times they add the kid with the haircut, with the Robbie Wrist haircut. It's a proud, weird tradition. That was a fun panel.
And then I stayed in that room and got up on the stage.
All right, you're up next. This is your first panel of the weekend.
My first panel of the weekend, American Sci-Fi Classics, a salute to the 30th anniversary of Bill and Ted.
I was excited to hear you were doing this.
And man, the room was filling up for that.
That was a very popular panel. We got a lot of cosplayers in the audience.
A lot of them.
Bill and Ted.
I saw a picture.
Mm-hmm.
There were like 20. There was a huge group of Bill and Ted costumers showed up.
Yeah, excellent.
It was excellent. There was when it came time for audience questions, one Ted got up in character as Ted, and it took him a little while to get his question out because, of course, he was doing that character. You know, we touched on the sequel as well, and then a third movie, which is coming out next year.
Did anyone dress up like Napoleon?
No.
Oh, that's the missing link.
We talked about how, which was our favorite historical character. I particularly like Socrates, or Socrates, as they call him, who's pretty charming. But Napoleon's funny, and I like how...
his obsession with ice cream.
His obsession with ice cream and then water slides.
Right.
And, of course, a cameo by Jane Wheatland as Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc was awesome.
Yeah, I really... That's pretty much my favorite part of the movie, is when they bring all the historical characters back to the present and let them loose on them all.
Yes.
And havoc ensues. We're going to have to make Kevin sit through that at some point.
Someday. I will watch the Bill and Ted movies. I was, after I slipped out of the Bill and Ted thing, actually, I only went to one big celebrity Q&A panel this entire weekend, and that was for Gotham, which I'd done the panel about Gotham earlier that day, but a lot of the Gotham cast were guests at DragonCon this year, so I managed to catch one of their Q&A sessions together in the big giant room where they put all the famous people, But they had David Mazouz, who played young Bruce Wayne, was there, Robin Lord-Taylor, who was Penguin, Maggie Gyllenhaal, who was, I'm probably butchering her last name, but she was the second Poison Ivy. Because they shuffled through three different okay. actors played Poison Ivy. They'd keep kind of reinventing Poison Ivy. She'd be reborn as a different actor. So she was number two of three Poison Ivies. Donald, I never know how to pronounce his name.
Donald. I think it's Donald. Donald Logue.
Donald Logue, who was Harvey Bullock. And it was very cool. He was there. And Sean Pertwee.
Yay.
Who was Alfred. Mm-hmm. On Gotham, and they were great, great group together. I've seen David speak before, and he was like 12 when the show started, and so well-spoken, smart kid, and now he's 17 or so, I guess, he's all grown up, had his dog with him.
Oh,
came out on stage with he has a little dog, and he was just holding the dog.
Nice.
The whole time.
That would have been Cornflake's second favorite.
Sure.
Thing about the time.
I would have loved that.
You don't care about Gotham, but you could have just watched the dog.
Yes.
For the whole thing. Great cast on Gotham. I mean, Robin Lord-Taylor as Penguin kind of stole the whole series.
Yeah, he's become iconic.
The Gotham cast was fun. Then I had like two more panels right after that.
Whoa.
That was on Arrow, the Arrow TV series, which is headed into its final short season this fall. That was with AJ moderated, and Walter and Jenny and Jenna. Jenna I've worked with before. She's cool. We did that Wonder Woman panel a couple years ago that we played here on the Flopcast. So we talked Arrow, and then I had to just stay right on that stage right after that because I was moderating the Titans panel. That's on the DC Universe streaming service, the new Titans series, which is a very dark adult interpretation of the Teen Titans.
Yeah, the second season is actually, I don't know if you knew this, the second season is coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, very soon. But yeah, a lot of range on Teen Titans over at DC because they did the kids cartoon version. Yeah. Then they did the even goofier, even more kiddie cartoon version.
Diametrically opposed to Teen Titans.
At the same time, the live action series is super dark and adult. I like it. Some people have problems with it, and I get that. There are problems to be had, but it was good. Big crowd for this. The Arrow panel was not super well attended. There was a nice little group in the room, but it was not exactly packed. But more people showed up for the later panel. I was surprised.
Interesting.
That the room really filled up for Titans.
My experience with other panels I was on is that, like the first season of a show might spark a lot of interest. And
that could be.
Arrow's nearing the end of its life.
You have enough Arrow.
Yeah.
big crowd and a lot of costumes. And there were Titans costumes.
Cool.
I think we have a picture. I did that move, where I pulled all the Titans costume people up to the front of the room to do a group picture because there was a Nightwing, there were two Starfires, and there were three Ravens.
Cool.
So we got that. They all looked great. We got them all up front, and that was a good talk.
While you were doing all
that. Yeah, where were
that,
you?
My friend Chris, who I've known for many years, does stuff on the YA track because he's a children's librarian.
Mm.
So he was on a panel about LGBT themes in young adult literature, and
Is that in the young adult?
That's the young adult literature track.
Track room? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the Marriott Atrium level right next to Puppetry and Star Wars.
Correct.
And I say that as someone who's never set foot in young adult, but I'm a tour guide and I know where everything is.
Yes, I even saw a BB-8 rolling around and Wally.
Yes,
as well.
The BB-8s were lurking around that area all weekend, yes. I noticed.
Also, yes. Can we lure you to Dragon Con with BB-8, Sparkling?
I can't say no to BB-8.
So we met up at this point for the big movie premiere, right?
Yes.
So this is something, Cornflake. I think I told you this was happening, but we mentioned Dave West, the Phantom Troublemaker, and as you know, there was a documentary filmmaker following Dave around for the last 2-3 years to make a movie about Dave, who used to only be known as the Phantom Troublemaker. He revealed his secret identity a year or two ago, and there's a movie now, it's called Troublemaker, and it's all about him and what he does as kind of a personality and performer at conventions and as a podcaster. He hosts rock shows and wrestling events and game shows. And in the Classics track at Dragon Con, we had a special Dragon Con premiere of the movie event. Our friend Michael Gordon from Earth Station 1 was the host of the event, and of course Dave was there. They showed the whole movie and then had a little talk with the cast and crew, but going into something like this, it's always like, I hope it's going to be good. You know, some of these are good, some of them less so. I don't know who this filmmaker is. How's it going to be? I'm sure it'll be cool because, you know, we know Dave. It'll be fun to see a movie about Dave. It was excellent.
Yeah, I definitely thought it was very good quality and just like, very nicely put together. But I mean, I've definitely seen documentaries on, you know, streaming services that are not quite as good. not quite as high quality as this one. So it was a great production. So yeah, I mean, even I, you know, I don't personally know much about Dave other than what you've told me, but I found it engaging and he's an interesting character, and it was a nice story.
Well, yeah, it'd be easy to make a movie like this and be, here's this interesting guy that does this cool, geeky stuff at conventions and at other events, and he has this identity as a performer. Here it is. And you could make a little documentary like that. Fine. People like us would enjoy it. This movie went beyond that in that it has a point. It has a heart, you know, because it goes into, this is about a guy who has a dream to pursue this sort of activity, and how do you balance that with having to make a living and having a family? It addresses all of that really beautifully. What he's about as a fan, you know, he's someone who really stresses how important it is not to judge what other people are into. If you like something, that's fine. If you don't like something, that's fine.
Let people enjoy things.
Yes, and even at a super fan level that he is at, where he's an expert on all things nerdy and geeky, but he also gets that if you're not that way, that's fine too.
Yeah. And he says, hey, if you enjoyed a Star Wars movie, you're a Star Wars fan.
Yes. And also, and I think he was kind of repeating some of the things that I think we've said on these Dragon Con shows, in that the care that he puts into what he does, he understands that when he's doing a podcast or when he's performing at a convention, people are paying for that. And you're paying with your time, you know, so what does he owe you? He owes you the best performance he can give you. And that's the attitude that we try to take to, you know, like obviously I'm doing a million things all weekend at these things. But I'm approaching each one of them thinking the people in this audience right now looked at a giant program of literally dozens of things are going on at this convention that only happens once a year that they paid to be at, and they selected this room to be in for this thing.
Right.
So I owe them a great hour of content at Dragon Con. And that's what they're going to get, you know. And nobody's there to see me. Now, Dave's a personality. Dave has fans on a level that we certainly do not, nor should we. But the stuff that I do, no one's there to see me. They're here for the subject, whatever the subject's going to be, and I'm here to deliver that subject to them. And so he has that attitude, too, is that I'm here, I'm going to make this great for you. And man, they did it again with this movie, because it's fantastic. It's called Troublemaker. I think it's played at some festivals. It's won some awards at some festivals already, and certainly was very well received at Dragon Con. A lot of the movie was shot at Dragon Con, including in the room where we were watching the movie.
yeah, very real.
That got a little weird.
That is cool.
It was turning in upon itself as we watched it.
We might still be there.
We might be in the movie right now, just swallowed up by it all. Man, it was good though. So congratulations to Dave and Jason and all involved. Many friends of ours kind of pop up in the background and in the foreground throughout the movie. Very, very fun. I was out after that. We mentioned that band called Cybertronic Spree. It's a rock band, but they're dressed up like the Transformers.
Right.
And I did manage to catch a little bit of their late night concert Saturday night.
Were they more than meets the eye?
Slightly more, yes. They were super fun. They were cool. So I got to catch a little bit of Cybertronic Spree. Check them out, especially if you're into the Transformers. So I was just lurking around late at night, you know, seeing the crazy people, seeing the costumes. Typical Saturday night. Out too late, probably, but that's how it goes. It's Dragon Con, and I think we're going to cut off Dragon Con right now and reconvene next week, because we're already running longer than we should.
As usual.
So, I hadn't noticed.
You know what, Cornflake? Let's wrap this one up, and we'll reconvene next week.
Well, we sure are glad you joined us if you're a regular Flopcast listener or you're new to the show because you found us at Dragon Con. You can find us on the internet at flopcast.net or on Facebook, facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast, and on Instagram, the_flopcast is our handle. Did I mention flopcast.net?
Yes.
We've got our own website.
Mention it again.
It's podcast.net.
Yes. All right. Well, Cornflake, that is Dragon Con Part 1. Mayor, thanks for staying awake to talk Dragon Con Part 1 with us. I think we're all a little sleepy right
yes.
now.
Yes. Well, yeah, I got practice staying up at Dragon Con, so I can stay up to talk about it.
We're trying to power through this. Yeah, join us again for the back half of our Dragon Con review. You have no idea how wacky the next half of Dragon Con gets. It just keeps getting crazier. Just to tease a couple of things, though, we're talking Weird Al Yankovic and UHF. Oh, Russian Doll, right?
Yes.
Classic sci-fi court happens next week. We'll run down what happened when we took Supergirl to court. And
Of Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai. And maybe even a strange encounter with a Silver Spoons cast member.
Ooh.
Hang on for that next week. See you there.
Peace and cookies.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With 4 tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
Cornflake, this is the secret after show. This has to be quick. We got to wrap this up.
I missed you guys. I really did. So while you were away, I watched The Commitments again.
Yay.
That is a movie we have watched here as a movie night on the Flopcast.
We introduced you to The Commitments, and now it's like your favorite movie.
Yeah, and I remember you telling me, because I had sat down and watched it for the first time with you, you said every time you watch it, you'll notice something a little bit different about
it. Yes, because the big ensemble cast, so many characters,
right.
They're all speaking with that accent as if they're in a foreign country.
And just like last time, I caught myself for a few days after referring to people as tossers.
Yep.
And this time what I noticed is afterwards for days and even now still I couldn't get Mustang Sally out of my head. Has that ever happened to you after watching that?
Every time.
Yeah. At least one of those songs sticks in my head every time I watch it.
Long story short, having Mustang Sally in my head made me miss you a little less.
Well, that's good to hear. You know how we could make The Commitments even better, though?
How?
Michael Cimbello and Maniac. Ooh. How about an Irish soul version of Maniac?
I thought you were going to tell us that Pickett's going to come jam with us tonight on the after show.
Just hang around. Wilson Pickett promised he was going to show up for the secret after show. Yes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.